The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
South Korea, Gord Miller, how you doing?
Good morning, Mitch. How are you guys?
Hey, how come you sound so much more wide awake than Pierre did?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
When was he on? An hour ago?
Yeah.
Well, that would... I might be bluffing. I'm in deep trouble today. I'm not going to lie to you.
I got three games
today, and I got a phone call last night at 3:30 a.m. from a credit card company asking me if I was concerned that my credit card had been stolen.
Seriously? Was it?
Yeah. No. No.
No?
Yes. No, it hadn't been used in over a month.
Geez, this is weird because about 24 hours ago, Pierre LeBrun was late joining us because his wallet was missing. Seriously.
Yeah. No, they called me because that credit card hasn't been used for a month.
Oh, so you're not spending enough money.
Apparently.
I'm
not going to lie to you. I was a little frustrated on a number of levels. One, that they would call me to tell me that. And two, that they woke me up. No, they wouldn't know that I was in South Korea, but I have three games today and I didn't get back to sleep.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, but it does make sense that you don't use your credit card for a month and then you make a purchase in South Korea that the credit card company's going to be like, oh, that's not normal spending habits.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mitch might have a point there.
Well, that's a first, eh? Congratulations, Mitchie. Way to go. Hey.
Oh, but while we're on the topic...
You know, why don't we just...
While we're on the topic, Gord, this is a good time to, because this happens to me via a couple of people, the same people, please stop texting. Yeah. Just because you're up at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, please stop texting. All right.
Yes, well, my darling daughter, Blair, the other day texted me. Now, normally my phone is off, but we've been getting these emergency alerts here, so my phone is still on at night. Blair texted me to ask me for help with her science homework at 3 a.m.
She just misses her dad. She just wants to connect.
Yeah.
Now, the alerts that you're talking about...
A.M. and B at science. Yeah.
The alerts you're talking about, are those weather alerts?
Well, for whatever reason, there's an emergency management system here. So the first time I got one, it's all in Korean, so you don't know what it says. You know, you're a bit unnerved, right? And I got like two a day. The wind was really high here yesterday. I don't know if you've seen any of the footage, but there's a... Where we are, there's a central Olympic area, right? So there's a perimeter that goes around it. So there's speed skating, figure skating, hockey, are all the same compound. There's a central square in there. They closed that because the wind was so high. They were worried that some of the displays were going to tip over. Oof. Like it ripped the roof off some of the temporary tents. Like it was really nasty wind. So that was a lot of it yesterday. Was just the warnings about high wind.
Yeah, I did see it. Actually, I didn't realize that Ray Ferraro's on Instagram now. So that's where I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ray's like, you know, if you have any tech problems, you should go to Ray Ferraro. He's your man. Anything you need to know about, you know, computers, technology, just call Ray Ferraro. I'll give you his number later. Just call him anytime. He'll fix you right up.
Other than the unplanned wake-up call that you received, what's your initial impression of where you are?
It's beautiful. I mean, I'm in a beautiful hotel right in the beach. It's a gorgeous area, and apparently this is quite the summer resort. It's a very popular summer resort for South Koreans. Very pleasant people. The venues are beautiful. It's been very well organized. There's really what I have noticed is you don't see the oppressive security. I shouldn't say oppressive, but the visible security that you've seen at past Olympics. Like, there aren't soldiers with guns everywhere. You know, it's tight getting in and everything else, but you don't see, like, the military and police presence that you've seen at past Olympics.
This was a really cool tweet from Gord about 10 hours ago or so. When I was 10 years old, I watched the 1975 mm-hmm. World Series on NBC Sports, greatest World Series a lot of us have ever seen, and was so intrigued that I drew an NBC logo, taped it to my blue blazer, used a wooden spoon for a mic, and pretended I was a sportscaster. In my mm-hmm. wildest dreams, I couldn't have imagined this. And there's a shot of Gord on camera holding the NBC mic in front of the NBC camera. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, my mom's got a picture of it somewhere. She can't find it. But I think that, you know, I'm very guarded against becoming cynical. I think a lot of people get cynical as they go along in their careers, and whatever they do. And I do think that we should be thankful every day, in my group, for what we do. It's an extraordinary privilege, and I mean, it's hard work, it's travel, everything else, but it's a great job, and we're very well treated. And I think professional athletes sometimes fall into that trap of complaining and everything else. And I remember years ago a guy saying that a bad day in the NHL is better than a good day anywhere else. And so I just think I think about it a lot. I remember, the other thing I would do is I would pretend to be Dave Hodge. Kind of funny that, Dave emceed my wedding. But I would pretend to be Dave Hodge. And my grandfather, the reluctant Irish doctor, had to pretend to be Howie Meeker. And, 10 years after doing that, I was working with Howie. And I called my grandfather and said, "Can you believe it? Like, here I am with Howie Meeker." And he goes, "Actually, I can't believe it."
Yeah, that's a perk of being in the business that you always wanted to be in. The same situation for me with, getting to know people like Danny Gallivan, right? And sure. hanging with them, getting to spend quality time with people like that. It was just like
learning from them. And Ernie, when I started out, the likes of Dave Hodge and Ernie Afaganis and the legends of the thing taught us. And I think the other thing to remember too is those guys didn't have someone to model themselves after. Like when Foster Hewitt started out, he had no one to model himself after. They were creating this as they went along. And so, it's kind of funny. I love what I do, and I think there's lots of stuff about it that would bug you, but I focus on sort of the great part of it, and it's pretty neat to be, to think that all those years ago I dreamt about this, and it's kind of happened. And I've been very blessed in my career to work with a lot of great people, and this is another fun step.
Now part of the NBC Sports family. So were you, so you remember Kurt Gowdy then?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
I had funny heroes. Kurt Gowdy and a guy named Frank Gleiber were my early heroes. Do you remember Frank Gleiber?
No, I don't.
He did the 16th hole at Augusta. He was one of the voices of the NFL on CBS. And aside from my Canadian heroes, I'm talking about like guys from the U.S. He was a terrific broadcaster. He died very young. I think a heart attack. He's in his 50s, but he was terrific. And then, in Canada, obviously, to an extent, Dan Kelly, because he worked in both countries, but Danny Gallivan, Bob Cole, guys like that for sure. I met Danny Gallivan once. I was so embarrassed. I was at an awards, the Hockey News Awards, and he came up, and I just finished doing the Memorial Cup. And he came up and he said, "Hi, Gore, Danny Gallivan. Just wanted to say great job, Memorial Cup." And I turned around and saw it was him. And I gave him a dead fish handshake and said, "Me too."
It's intimidating.
He said something else,
yeah.
And I said, "Me too." And he walked away. And I forget who the player was. Then he goes, "Boy, you really made an impression on him." And I never met him again. Never met the man again. Yeah. That was it.
And Danny didn't speak. He sang. That's the way he was. Yeah. With Gord Miller on site.
So his impression of me was Gord Miller, total dunce.
Yeah, wet fish, no handshake, insecure.
Yeah,
never going to make it. And so the three games that you're doing,
no future.
Which games are you doing?
We're starting out with Finland, Germany at noon local time, which will be fun. And then Norway, Sweden. We'll see Rasmus Dahlin at 4:30 local time, and then the Czechs and Korea. And so the South Koreans make their men's Olympic debut. Wild yesterday. The women lost to Japan but scored their first goal, and the place went wild. So it'll be fun tonight to see the Koreans play the Czechs. Jim Pack is a guy that I've known for a long time. He coaches the Koreans. He played for the Canadian national team, actually, in the early 90s. But Jim is the head coach, and I think there's so much excitement for these guys, and there's such a fascinating story. Seven North Americans play on their team. They've got their transfer cards to play for Korea. Some of them came over 6-7 years ago when there was no skate sharpening in the country. Like, it was, really rudimentary beginnings. But it'll be fun to watch tonight. And I think that, the one thing is, and again, it's easy to get cynical and say, the Koreans are going to get slaughtered here in the Olympics. For them, what a thrill it is to play in the Olympics for their own country. And that's true of, 95% of Olympic athletes won't get on TV, won't, play in front of a big crowd. They just do their thing, and for them, they can always say they're an Olympian. And that's a pretty big deal. And so it'll be fun to see tonight.
A week ago, Gord, we were talking to you about the trade deadline and moving assets for assets, and you kind of made the point that, at least for you, you'd prefer, I guess, close to a real hockey trade. Give me one prospect, one player, if you're selling off. And, I mean, frankly, we hear about Brassard, three assets, and price point for Pacioretty might be two or three assets and all that. Like, do you know of anyone, any current or former manager who feels the way you do, that even if you're trading off and you're looking to stockpile or replenish the system, you ultimately want to just look at one high-level prospect?
Yeah, and it's funny. I was talking to a manager about it the other day, and he said, I've heard your theory. Easy to say, hard to do, because the teams you're trading with aren't interested in passing that up for rentals. So in the case of trading a player who, might only be there a couple of months, it's hard to do. Now, when you're talking about Ryan McDonough or, I'm not saying Eric Karlsson is going to be traded, but if Ottawa decided they weren't going to be able to re-sign Eric Karlsson and traded him, that's a different situation. They have term left. So, but when you're dealing Rick Nash, when you're dealing, potential unrestricted free agents, you're probably not going to get a one, five-star piece back. That's not what teams do. So, I think it's very hard to do, and it's hard to make trades now. You saw, the L.A. Ottawa trade, which was, I'll give you my contract I don't like, and you give me your contract you don't like.
So, Gord, Gallo was watching some of the Olympic hockey last night. He already has a complaint.
Oh.
Great. No, just...
Mitchie, just so you know, Mitchie, we in South Korea have all been waiting to hear what your complaint is.
No, just when I watch the international game, especially early in tournaments, I don't like whistles when I watch hockey games, and there was a lot of crease violations in the game I saw.
The USA-Slovenia game?
Yes.
Okay, so, I think that rule is terrific. And once the Americans adjust to it, it's probably, were the Americans doing it more than the Slovenes?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because they don't know the rule very well. So once you get used to it, the one thing it does is it avoids all those crazy goalie interference calls you get. Because once players learn it, they stop doing it. And you avoid goalie interference. I think that the one thing I would say about this, and we had some calls in our game, the Slovakia-Russia game, hooking calls where a guy just laid his stick on a guy's glove for a second to call that hooking. You can complain about that all you want. I will say this. What they call in the first minute of the first period in the first game of the tournament is the same thing they'll call in the last minute of the third period of the gold medal game. It's very consistent, and I like that.
Have you also been...
I don't like referees who manage the game. Don't manage the game, just call the penalties.
Have you also been having dumplings for breakfast?
No, I've not. I'm sorry to say this. I don't know why this is, but I've had the same thing for breakfast every day. I haven't tried the dumplings. I didn't realize the dumplings were there until yesterday morning. So I've been here for 8 days.
Well, Pierre told us that's all he's had, and he has no idea what's in them.
Yeah, I don't either. They looked good though yesterday. So, you know what, Mitch, in your honor today, I'm gonna go down and have a couple of dumplings before I go to the ring. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go into Crazy Town. I'm going to go into absolute beast mode, and I'm going to try the dumplings. And I'll report back to you next week if I live, on what they were.
And make sure you put it on your credit card. Thanks for coming on with us. Enjoy, and looking forward to watching you work there with that NBC microphone. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. My hands are bleeding, my head it aches. A little longer, my back will break. I'm staying in the saddle for road.
Like, what's the worst thing that you can put in a dumpling? Seriously. Oh, don't answer that.
Want to satisfy your Valentine? Choose Roses and Passion, the greatest selection of adult toys and accessories at the same time.